We have speed and surprise on our side. I probably sounded more confident than I actually felt, but that is the only way to engage the enemy. Something I picked up from Han. He told me,
"Never go into battle saying, 'Well, I guess I'll fight for my life now, if I really have to.' Once committed, kid, you have to commit fully, or you won't survive."
I pointed the nose down toward the interdictor and accelerated for the first time to full attack speed. It was breathtaking. The Desert Jewel was definitely faster than my X-Wing.
"Luke, they've seen us by now. You can't surprise them."
"I'm talking about the surprise we picked up from the Chekku clan on Rhodia, and the surprise that we would attack them at all, considering their advantages." The interdictor's batteries swung up and began spraying green bolts from quad laser cannons, but most of it was for show, since only a couple of them had the proper field of fire. The first squadron of TIE fighters, which must have been on alert or else eating lunch in their cockpits, began to swarm out from underneath.
"Let's get out of here," Nakari insisted. "This is insane!"
I didn't think so. I wasn't simply charging in with the hope that things would work out in my favor. I had a plan, and crazy people rarely had them.
"I prefer to think of it as risky," I said,
and saying that reminded me of the conversation I had with Leia on the Patience. Surely this wasn't as dangerous as going after the Death Star.
"R2, which gravity projector should I target?"
"It's port side, ours starboard."
"Both of them?"
"Yes."
"That complicates things."
"They weren't complicated before?"
Nakari asked.
"That cruiser has to be shielded."
"It is, but this is one of the immobilizer models, and we've been studying them since the Empire has been using them against us on our raids. They have 12 shield generators, some of them ray shields, some particle shields. We take out the particle shield generators for the port side first, then go after the gravity projectors with whatever we have left."
"While dodging TIE fighters and quad laser fire, do you hear yourself?"
Both were coming at me now, and I sent the Jewel into a spin away from an aggressive TIE pilot. Nakari missed seeing it, so focused was she on convincing me to flee.
"I did say it was complicated."
"Luke, let's just run to the edge of the interdiction field. The Jewel is fast enough."
I thought of that already, and perhaps it would have worked if I'd been in the cockpit instead of trying to make the calf machine produce something drinkable. But we'd lost too much time and space in those 10 to 15 seconds while I was unable to do anything. No, they sucked us in too close. The TIEs are already on us. Nakari turned her head, saw the vast assortment of death heading our way, jerked in her seat, and exclaimed,
"Gah!"
She didn't press her point after that, seeing that it was too late. Situations develop fast when fighters close on one another so quickly. We wove through the first 6 TIEs, avoiding their fire and head-on collisions. I managed to wing one of them with our laser cannons. We had 3 now, not just 1, and it careened into another, taking out both. I didn't bother firing at the cruiser, since there was no way our lone ship would weaken the shields enough to punch through. But I would gladly pull the trigger on the TIE fighters whenever opportunity afforded. The Empire had stopped making these particular interdictor cruisers because of their vulnerabilities. But while they weren't making any new ones, there were still plenty of them out there. The Alliance kept running into them, so we had been training recently on how to eliminate them before our raiding parties got wiped out by their escorts of destroyers and cruisers. The Empire was putting gravity projectors into Star Destroyers now, much more difficult to take out for a group and impossible for a single ship to damage. To my knowledge, no one had ever taken out an immobilizer with a single ship before. But I'd theorized about the possibility with Wedge. I wouldn't be trying it except that we were desperate. And we also had a bonus weapon that we'd picked up on Rhodia. The Empire must have been frantic to find us if it had sent this one interdictor to the edge of Hutt space without any escorts. Already in touch with the Force, I opened myself more to it and slipped into a non-thinking state of awareness, anticipation, and reaction, sliding the Desert Jewel into an attack vector that minimized my profile to the interdictor's gunners and led us straight to the port side shield generators. We were slightly faster than the standard TIE fighters. After the first half of the squadron passed by and then banked around for another pass,
the second half emerged from underneath the ship, coming up on either side of the cruiser and moving at me in a pincer formation, albeit behind me so as not to catch themselves in a crossfire. Their shots were sloppy, and they didn't care about hitting the ship, depending on the shields to ward off the stray bolts. The Jewel handled well. This was her first test at full speed under heavy fire, and we took a couple of hits that reduced our shields to 70%. I was glad they had fully recharged before we encountered this situation. R2, light up their particle shield generator for me on the targeting hollow. A small rectangle flashed and blinked for me on the bladed edge of the cruiser, and I assigned two of the Jewel's six concussion missiles to it while also locating it with the Force. If I didn't bring the shield down, nothing else would work. The missiles had to get there. The TIE fighters would do nothing about them, but the cruiser's gunners would probably attempt to shoot them down. Spinning and juking my way down and feeling the ideal moment approach, I took two more hits from TIE fighters before launching the missiles. Cruiser fire aimed at me ceased and shifted to the missiles, which gave me more leeway to dodge the